I'm going to be playing a clip from Jane Roe's argument in the Roe versus Wade case. We're going to be critical of it because that's what we're supposed to do. When people convey a fact in order to, or say a fact in order to convey a lie, that's pretty bad stuff. But we see it often in lawyers. I've seen it most often in government lawyers. I've seen it in other lawyers just even recently. I've watched some lawyers who kind of convey themselves to be Christians on one hand, and then when I watched their operations on the other, it was actually quite despicable, quite subtle, and it's almost like they operate right on the fence of truth that people could perceive. You know, they operate thinking, well, they don't know the big picture, so I can say the following thing, which is factually correct. Ultimately, they are deliberately conveying a non-truth. They will ultimately be held accountable for every idle word, and so will I. So I have to be careful on talk radio. My wife said to me, she said, honey, one of your favorite Bible verses, in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he restrains his lips as wise. And I know, this is very dangerous. Let not many of you be teachers, knowing you'll be twice judged. Let's go ahead and play this Roe versus Wade clip.
Abortion now for a woman is safer than childbirth.
Abortion now is safer than childbirth. Liar, liar, pants on fire, hanging on a telephone wire.
In the absence of abortion, or legal, medically safe abortions, women often resort to the illegal abortion, which certainly carry risks of death, all the side effects such as severe infection.
Wait a minute, illegal, okay, let's just keep going.
Permanent sterility, all the complications that result. And in fact, if the woman is unable to get either a legal abortion or an illegal abortion in our state, she can do a self-abortion, which is certainly, perhaps, by far the most dangerous. And that is no crime.
Now, and that is no crime, they say. That is no crime. Well, that statement of that is no crime was actually a falsehood. That was actually a falsehood. One of the things I found when I read the Roe versus Wade case, when I was actually reading the deliberations or the opinion of the court, they cited in the footnotes some of these things that the different parties had posed to the court as an authority. And what they did is they cited a commentary on the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone. They didn't cite him by the reference itself. He cited a commentary on the reference. And in the commentary, it says, oh, it really wasn't wrong. That wasn't a person in the womb. Well, actually, it was. Actually, it was a person in the womb. In fact, if you read the thorough discussions of all of the commentaries of Sir William Blackstone and connected them together on the subject, it was absolutely understood from conception that it was a natural person in being, whether or not it's a literal, legal person for social purposes. He went in and explained the difference between natural rights of a natural person in being and legal rights of somebody who is, of course, born into society. The one born into society would have 14th Amendment rights. The one who is conceived has natural rights. And what they did is they gave a false statement of what Sir William Blackstone said by citing a commentary that was lying rather than going to the reference itself. Same thing they did with the Bible. It's quite fascinating. Now, what I'm going to do is I think there's a thing right here. I think I called up something where I said, oh, here we go. I think this is one of the Supreme Court justices making a comment. If you listen to all the dialogue, they realize one of the justices were talking about, well, it's not really a person under the 14th Amendment. And they went and talked. And then they finally came to the conclusion the 14th Amendment didn't define person. In fact, the justice admitted, well, it's really talking about citizenship, social rights. It's not talking about the right to life. It was talking about citizenship rights. And then he went on later and then ignored what he said to himself earlier and said, well, the baby inside the womb is not really a person under the 14th Amendment. And in other words, you don't really have any protection in law for your life. You don't count until you're outside the womb. He contradicted his own statement. A different justice, though, brought up this nuance. See, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord don't understand all. I didn't have time to figure out who said what. Let's see what he says.
Gentlemen, we feel that the concept of a fetus being...
This is state of Texas argument.
Within the concept of a person, within the framework of the United States Constitution and the Texas Constitution, is an extremely fundamental thing.
Of course, if you're right about that, you can sit down. You've won your case.
Your Honor...
Except insofar as maybe the Texas abortion law presently goes too far in allowing abortion.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. We feel that this is the only question, really, that this court has to answer.
Now, listen to that. It's a question that the court has to answer. Earlier he had said this is a matter for the legislature to decide. And did you hear what the Supreme Court justice said? He says, hey, if it is really a person, a human being, a human life, then in fact, you really ought to be thinking why Texas allows abortion at all. Well, it doesn't allow it, folks. It's called what can it really realistically prosecute? If a woman thinks she's in fear of her life, if you think somebody's going to kill you and you use deadly force and you go to court, they can't convict you if you can show, oh my goodness, I was in fear of my life. It's unprosecutable. It'll ultimately be judged. It's appointed for man wants to die and then the judgment. But we don't have the authority as men to make a distinguishing between you protecting your life and the protection of the other person's life. We don't have the authority to make that determination. So we have to let it go and leave it for judgment day. So that would be the argument. Why you don't prosecute somebody taking the life of the womb within them if they think that it is actually going to cause her death. That's a knee-jerk self-protection mechanism. That's a really sticky wicket to try to prosecute.
We have a...
Do you think the case is over for you? You've lost your case then. If the fetus or the embryo was not a person, is that it?
Yes, sir. I would say so.
Well, now listen to that. If the fetus is not a person, then you've lost your case. Listen to this guy. Who did they get to argue this? He didn't get it. He was doing some pretty neat arguments, but he didn't get it. The problem is when a shoot from the hip question comes where he's actually got to step back, stay on balance, go to the principles behind these things, and then speak truth, he was unable to do it. He said, well, if this is not really a person, your case is lost. Well, yes, that's right. No, it isn't. Ay, ay, ay. Too much in-flight entertainment. He was probably watching too much I Love Lucy.
888-850-1872. You mean the state has no interest that it, of its own that it can assert?
Oh, we have other interests, Your Honor. Preventing promiscuity, say. Maybe
yes,
this is...
Preventing promiscuity. Ay, ay, ay.
Maybe
yes,
this
but
is...
Can't, your legislature, apparently, or you're asserting that the state, that your state law... wants to protect the life of the fetus.
Yes, sir.
He's trying to help him here. Let me start this over. Listen to what this Supreme Court justice is trying to help him here.
Or you're asserting that the state, that your state law wants to protect the life of the fetus.
Yes, sir.
And under state law, there is some rights given. There are some rights given to the fetus.
Yes, sir.
And you are asserting those rights. Against the right of the mother.
Balancing against the Ninth Amendment rights. Or
well, yeah, but that's wholly aside from whether or not the fetus is a person under the federal Constitution.
Hear that? It's wholly aside from whether the fetus was a person under the federal Constitution. He was trying to help him out here, saying there's natural rights that you have a compelling state interest to protect. This isn't about a 14th Amendment claim that of a personhood. Of civil rights. This is not about civil rights. This is not about civil rights. I'm going to step back in history. I'm going to step back in time. I'm going to go back to the writings of Sir William Blackstone's, and this is natural rights. He said persons is not just legal persons, but listen, are divided by the law into either natural persons. So the word person is okay. Don't say somehow a person is a legal entity. No, it depends on the context. divided by law into either natural persons or artificial. Natural persons are such as God of nature formed us. As the God of nature formed us in the womb. Psalm, I think it's 139, David calls out, "You knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. All my parts," you know, he describes all his parts, God knowing every one of them and how they were knit together. That would be the natural person. Natural rights. Protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Artificial are such as created and devised by human laws for the purposes of society and government. That would be 14th Amendment rights, wouldn't it be? Civil rights, civil processes, associations of society. That's a whole different perspective. Blackstone said the rights of persons considered in their natural capacities are also of two sorts. Now listen to this, absolute and relative. So the natural person has absolute rights, an absolute right to life. And then they have relative rights. That would be 14th Amendment. That would be, I'm a parent, I'd prefer to be not pregnant, to maintain a certain body structure and look, to not have certain responsibilities, to care for those who need my nurturing by nature. I'd prefer the following thing for the gratification of my own happiness. But they have this absolute right to life here that my relative right ought to yield to. See, when it's an absolute right to protect your life against the absolute right of the other life, you can't prosecute it. It still is a homicide, but it can't be certainly prosecuted as murder. In many cases, could not be even prosecuted as a misdemeanor, depending on the facts, the very facts of the situation. What we've done is we've stripped all that away and enabled people an industry. We've instituted an industry of murder. Folks, you got a 50, all you atheists out there, you got a 50-50 chance. You might be right. And you might be wrong. Maybe there is divine intervention, divine protection available to those who do that which is right. Now, I don't know where you can get off saying, well, we're going to hinge our bets that there is no God. I think for prudence sake, wouldn't it be better to hinge our bets that there is divine retribution, judgment, and reward? I'm using the words of Darwin. Absolute, which are such as pertain and belong to particular men merely as individuals or single persons. Relative, which are incident to them as members of society, standing in various relations to each other. The first is that is absolute rights will be the subject of the present chapter. So that he goes on and talks about that. We may come back to it. We come back. We're going to come back to the commentaries made by the person arguing for the state of Texas on the Roe versus Wade case. He wasn't paying attention, folks. He wasn't paying attention. Evil men do not understand justice. And they try to give us a call sometimes at 888-850-1872. Sometimes they don't feel up to it because this is pretty heady. What if they say something and all of a sudden Dave pokes them in the ribs with some element of truth that's conveyed in order to convey truth? I encourage you to give us a call at 888-850-1872. Either way, we're going to come back. And on this week after the anniversary of the very catastrophic Roe versus Wade, it's affecting your pocketbook today, my friends. We're going to come back and we're going to discuss this because it's imperative. We need to do a paradigm shift. America, we need to pull this plane out of a nosedive. Turn off the in-flight entertainment.